It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We will get back to some Cavs talk probably in the 4 o'clock hour there after Pete Futek, who's coming up at 4 o'clock. But your Cleveland Browns are 2-7. We are on the bye, and that means we heard from Andrew Berry earlier. That was yesterday. It was about a full, brisk 30-minute press conference where there was a lot of things going on there, but not a lot of them were the truth. But to talk about that, the state of the Browns, what the next 8 games represent, we welcome on. You know him usually from Tuesdays at 5:20. This week we've got him at 3 o'clock here. Albert Breer, the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Albert, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Sorry about the delay, the mix-up, all of it this week. It's been my kid turned 10, so we took him to Arrowhead on Monday night for the game. So my travel schedule is a little weird this week and not for work reasons. So. But I'm here and ready to roll.
No worries at all. We gotta start with was it everything he wanted it to be? Because it sounds like the coolest trip a 10-year-old could have.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, my 10-year-old spoiled, so he's a little upset when he couldn't go right over to Mahomes and say hello. but other than that, it was great. It was great for me too, actually. You know, I probably haven't sat in the stands at an NFL game since more than 20 years ago. So, from that standpoint, that was kind of cool. You know what I mean? I put up on social media, I legitimately have not had a beer at an NFL game since my, early 20s. So, that was it was a cool experience to get to do that again just because it had been so long.
Albert, you are Mr. NFL. You're on top of everything here. We heard from Andrew Berry yesterday. Obviously, when you're 2-7, these conversations begin. Are rumors swirling around the NFL about what's going to go on in Cleveland, or there's still kind of the perception that change will be minimal?
Yeah, I don't think, at least, from my standpoint and knowing what I know, I have not heard Cleveland come up much as far as a team can make a change. And you're right, this is the time of year when you start to hear that stuff, but just asking around, and again, it's early, you never know. But to this point, I have not heard anything about any change happening in Cleveland, no.
What'd you make of Andrew Berry speaking yesterday? I think a lot of people left a little disappointed that he did a lot of things that Stefanski does, a lot of non-answers, essentially. But it directly asked if the trade for Watson was a good one, and he couldn't really even answer that either. Should there have been more accountability there?
I mean, we always scream for it, you know what I mean? And the fans always scream for it. I think it's easier to answer that question if you're Andrew Berry, if he's not in the building anymore. If you say, that was a horrible trade, my bad, you know what I mean? What are you saying to other teams? That at some point might want to acquire him. I know that's unlikely, but at some point might want to acquire him. And what are you saying that to Deshaun himself? You can't really do that. So I understand, the trade looks really bad. I would think that if it doesn't get better at some point, there will be a a place and a time to take accountability. I just don't know that it was in this setting, you know, like with Watson still on the roster and coming back from a torn Achilles.
Albert, what do the next 8 games represent for the Cleveland Browns?
I think part of it's like just the direction of the organization. You know, like they have a core in place and guys that are right in the prime of their careers. So, you know, like I think it could be as heavy as the direction of the team. You know, you've invested in Myles Garrett. You've invested in Denzel Ward. You've invested in some of the guys in your offensive line, Jack Conklin, Joel Bitonio, Neil Whiteteller. You've invested in Jeremiah Wosu-Koromoa. You've got players on your roster that are in the prime of their careers where it's like, okay, like this is our core, and you've paid them as such. So, you know, like what does that look like going forward? You know, what does it look like going forward with your receivers, with Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy, and how does that color what you do at the position going forward? Jedrick Wills is your left tackle of the future. Like there are still – I'd say a lot of questions that need to be answered, you know, and most of it, you know, involves the direction of the core in place, the direction of the franchise. And, you know, that stuff can look a lot different in 2 months' time, you know, so we're going to get to see it in a different context with Jameis as the quarterback and, you know, without a searing spotlight on them from a national perspective, at least. And so it'll be interesting to see sort of how the next couple of months can color the future of the franchise. I don't think anybody's under the illusion that they're making the playoffs now.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Andrew Beer yesterday put a lot on the next 8 games. That's where his focus is. So if we play the extremes here, what do you think the difference is for the Browns from 8-0 to maybe 0-8?
Well, I mean, the quarterback play for one. And then I think health on the offensive line would be the second piece. You know, they were able to manage it last year, but they had a unicorn offensive line coach in Bill Callahan. You know, and I think Andy Dickerson's qualified and a good offensive line coach. But, like, some of the stuff that Callahan did last year with, you know, their fourth and fifth tackles is off the charts, you know. So I think, you know, better health on the offensive line, what you're seeing from the quarterback, you know, like those would be the top two things for me, you know. And then I think defensively, there's still like the pieces in place for you to play at a high level. So, you know, again, health, Denzel Ward, can he stay on the field? You know, Myles Garrett, what sort of production are you getting out of him? So there's like a few different things that I think you're looking at that could be the difference between, you know, going on a run and at least making like the rest of the season a conversation point for people there versus just being DOA and playing for a draft pick.
If a lot of the core is there, what does next season look like to you? Is it more likely you draft a quarterback, or is it more likely you say, hey, Justin Fields, let's give this a go because we have a lot of the pieces in place?
Yeah, I mean, like, it'd be one of two things. You know, like you could do both, like Minnesota did both. But I think you're going to have to add, like, now Watson probably still on the roster just because of the contract. So, you know, I think what you want to do is create a competitive situation for him. And so, you know, like I think you bring in or try to bring in like an economical veteran that has upside. So, you know, cause you don't need to bring in like, I don't know what the positive would be in like bringing in like a, you know, like a, I know he's not in the league anymore, but like a Chase Daniel type, you know, like a Josh McCown type. So I think you either draft one high in the first round, which, you know, then you have him under cost control, or you try to find an economical option, a guy who, you know, like maybe like a Daniel Jones, you know what I mean? Like somebody who you could see has some upside and can really compete. And maybe it does better with a fresh start for himself. And like kind of maybe gives you the chance to get what like Tampa got out of Baker Mayfield last year, or what Minnesota is getting out of Sam Darnold this year. So I think it's one or the other. It's either, if it's me at least, it's either like the high end reclamation project, the guy with talent that maybe benefits from a change of scenery, or you spend, you know, your first round pick to go and get one.
I know that this is dramatically early, but it is mock draft season for some right now. If the Browns do go the quarterback route, and kind of what you've heard about how people feel about the 2025 NFL quarterback class, is their perception on if there is a franchise quarterback or two in this class or not?
Well, I may be mistaken, but I think mock draft season starts in Cleveland around this time, usually, right?
Historically, so, like, yeah.
I would say it's not seen as a very good class at all. Now, can that change? Yes. Can a guy get pushed up because there isn't one and somebody's going to manufacture one in their head? Yes. I would be surprised if we get to April and we're not saying that the first three quarterbacks in last year's draft would be the first three quarterbacks in this year's draft. Does that make sense, the way I'm saying that? I think if you plug Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May into this year's class, not based on what we've seen from them, but just based on what they were last April, I think each one of them would probably be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. How do you look at Shedeur Sanders versus those guys? How do you look at Carson Beck versus those guys? Beck has not had a great year. How do you look at Jackson Dart? I think some people believe he's more of a second round pick than a first round pick, but that can change too. I think those are the questions we're asking. And again, you guys know about being in a bad situation with quarterbacks. Well, you know, like one really bad one is when you overdraft one and now you're not taking one for a few years because you're letting a kid who can't play develop, you know? So like, that's why I think to some degree, if you don't feel great about the quarterback class, you might be better off just sitting there and trying to find your version of Sam Darnold, because at the very least then that guy's probably coming on a 1 year deal. So it's not like you're tethering your organization to anybody going forward. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, you can walk away.
Yeah, Albert, it sounds like then, in that instance, if it's a Sam Darnold type, and Sam Darnold's a complete outlier in this scenario, because I think the Vikings still have deep postseason aspirations, but more people than not, you would be saying, we're not going to win a Super Bowl next year. We're not going to be a competitive football team. Maybe we win 8 games, maybe we win 9, and then you try to draft the quarterback the following year? That seems tough for a lot of the fans, I would imagine.
It's hard, yeah, and that's the tough part is, you don't ever want to be drafting in the top 5, right? Because that means you're really bad. So with the roster they have, the history they have, making the playoffs in 2 of the last 4 years, that's definitely something you have to consider is we don't plan to be picking this high again. So you do have to take a really hard look at the quarterbacks. And I think that's why, depending on where they pick, and if they wind up with a top 5 pick, that's why it's going to be incumbent on Andrew Berry and his staff and Kevin Stefanski and his staff to be involved in this too. You dive right in on the quarterback. So at least the study of them is done before the start of free agency. So you know what, again, a Daniel Jones or a Sam Darnold or whoever else, what those guys look like versus the quarterbacks who are coming out. I mean, the amazing thing about it is, guys, you think about this, right? So, generally in these situations, the veteran quarterback will be less talented than the highly drafted rookie, right? Well, in Denver, you have Bo Nix, who is the 12th overall, but you have, and his backup, the reclamation project, there's Zach Wilson, who was a second overall pick, right? Same thing in Minnesota. You have J.J. McCarthy, who was a 10th overall pick, and then the reclamation project there was Sam Darnold, who's the 3rd overall pick. So, you could legitimately be walking into a situation like that saying, the more talented kid is the reclamation project, not the rookie, you know? So that's why I think it's important. I think it's going to be important for the Browns, assuming nothing else really changes, to take a really, really hard early look at the quarterbacks. And I'm sure they're getting out and seeing them now, to have an idea of if we don't go and get Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones, where are we left with in a draft? You don't want to be left with we passed on them because we're starting our draft work on these kids in the top 5. And now we don't think any of the kids in the top 5 can really play.
Albert, excellent stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate you. It's great to hear from you. And that's a really cool thing you did for your 10-year-old buddy. Great to hear.
I'm trying. I'm trying not to be a complete deadbeat. So I appreciate that, guys. Thank
right,
you.
Right there with you, buddy. Thank you so much. Albert Breer, MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The quarterback conundrum that honestly, I just don't know how you solve. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Albert Breer discussing how good this quarterback class is. I almost think we need like a whiteboard in here, and we just need to start tallying like good class, bad
good class.
Bad.
I like that. By the way, I don't think that's as much of an insult to this year's class as maybe a lot of people would perceive it to be, considering that Caleb Williams is off to a, I think we would agree, a pretty good, maybe not a great, but a pretty good start, all things considered.
Pretty good.
Jaden Daniels is off to an electric start. And Drake May, over the previous couple weeks, has the Patriots believe, and they have their franchise guy for years to come. Not only is he throwing the ball, he is running the ball at an extremely high rate and very, very well. Like, I just think it was a really good class last year.
Yeah. Well, but I think that's the, like, I think it's just important that whatever you do at quarterback, the appropriate level of expectations. For instance, like if you're expecting this year's class to be that level, well, I think Albert just told you that's not the case. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be intriguing quarterbacks. It just means that I almost think the variance might be harder to decipher who the best quarterback's going to be. You know what I mean? Like when it's like three maybes and there's not like three absolute top five picks, I think it's harder to pick the less obvious when there's like two or three relatively obvious guys like there were with Caleb, Jaden, and Drake May was the guy we didn't know how high he was going to go. I'm going to restrict verdict until I get a full year out of him.
Okay, I feel like Don Draper, though, and that's what the money's for. You know, like that's what you get paid. You get paid to find out which guys are the best and which guys you can take and make into something.
Yeah, but if you're already tedious, or sorry, not tedious, if you're already on the fence about Barry and Stefanski, and I tell you, hey, a lot of these guys are very, very dangerous to draft that high because you might just end up with Bo Nix as the first pick off the board, I think that's going to scare. I think it's going to harsh the mellow of some Browns fans from getting excited about drafting a quarterback.
I feel like, I don't know, I felt like Albert was kind of hitting it on the head with two teams that he mentioned and how it kind of feels like this is what the Browns are going to be doing. Because I don't think the Browns are going to be a three-win team next year with this core, and they're just going to say, we just got to tank and we got to try to get a high draft pick to go ahead and get the actual quarterback we want the following year. I think there's too many good pieces on this team. I think it's going to be incredibly hard to pull that off. I think they're going to be what Denver's currently doing. You mentioned Bo Nix. I think they're Denver and Minnesota. I think Albert had it dead on where you're almost splitting the baby of sorts where you're like, all right, we're taking this quarterback. We hope he can be something. Well, we're going to practice with them. We're going to work it out. We'll see if it goes. In the meanwhile, we're also going to take this other quarterback that at one point was perceived to maybe have something, and then we'll see what happens and we'll just, I mean, it sucks because it's not a great plan, but we'll just see whichever one wins out and go from there.
I think it is going to be a column A and column B. The problem is both columns get coaches fired all the time.
Oh, for sure.
This is really about reach for a rookie quarterback or veteran reclamation, young veteran, because I would be surprised if there's like a Kirk Cousins, which I think people have picked out of thin air. The Falcons are winning.
I picked it out of thin air.
Oh, wait. I thought it was somebody else. I thought I was taking a friendly shot.
No, that was me.
I love the idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's totally. Or the Matt Stafford thing, which I just don't know, like if Stafford's truly going to be available or if that was just because the Rams looked bad 2 weeks ago, you know, before they won a couple games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, and I'll be honest with you. I think depending on who is here, I think I know of the young veterans out there. Like, we've heard Trey Lance. We've heard Zach Wilson. We've heard Justin Fields. I think I kind of, as soon as I saw the name, I was
don't
like,
tell
I,
me.
I think this is going to be the guy.
Daniel Jones?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
Different Jones.
You had me. Mac Jones?
Yeah. Yep. That's a better. That, by the way, Mac Jones has had more success in the NFL than Trey Lance.
Trey Lance has played like 12 games in his life. Like, who are we kidding?
He's had more success in the field than Justin Fields has. He's won more games.
Excuse me?
No, he's actually had a winning season. Mac Jones had a winning season.
No, I thought I was talking about Trey Lance there. I'm like, Trey Lance has played in like 12 total games
Justin
in his life.
Fields.
He's
Justin
played
Fields.
In four NFL games. Mac Jones is, I don't think you're wrong. Mac Jones is the type of quarterback that if we're going to do this, and we're going to do this split the baby type thing, and we're going to try to do what Minnesota's doing and do what Denver's doing, that's exactly the type of name you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the type of name you're talking about. Somebody that you're like, you look at it and you're like, well, New England didn't know what they were doing. Yep. Bill Belichick has never been able to, I mean, like, he had Tom Brady and was great with Tom Brady. Name me the quarterback that's thrived with Bill Belichick outside of that. And for enough people, they'd be like, well, he had one. That's all he needs. Okay, he wasn't coaching a new quarterback every single year when for 20 years he had Tom Brady as his answer. He had to ignore that position, the developmental side of that position, for 20 years when Tom Brady was there.
You also, there's not going to be a bidding war for services, so it's like Baker. Oh, well, because the perception is he never got a chance in Jacksonville. The perception is he failed, quote-unquote, in Jacksonville. So that's not going to be a huge market for his services. I don't know if it's going to work out. I think he fits the old offense relatively well.
I looked at it like a failure in Jacksonville. I just looked at it like Trevor Lawrence in his way, and it is what it is.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, the NFL's a perception thing. Why didn't he get a chance over Trevor? No?
No,
Am I reaching a little bit? It's okay if I'm reaching a little bit.
That's fine. I just think it's Trevor Lawrence and everyone understood the situation. But what's nice about that is that he went away for a year, right? He disappeared out of people's minds for a year. And I think that's a good thing if you're trying to sell him on the idea that maybe there is something there. I'm not going to say he made a Pro Bowl and that's all that matters, because that doesn't matter in the slightest bit. But
there will be people who say that, though.
You know there will. You know there will. And that, in fact, he made a Pro Bowl. Beating out Josh Allen is the last piece to being the Pro Bowl selection, by the way, if memory serves me correct, and I know that it does.
So, because everyone's going to sell it. The 67% completion percentage in 2021, 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 INTs. And that is going to be the thing that sells you. Now, I don't know.
Mixed with the quarterback, though. We have to get this on the same side of things.
Plus with a young quarterback.
Yeah. So the young quarterback can be the piece that you're like, if everything goes right, then we're Jaden Daniels and we're offering up Super Bowl aspirations, and we're not just kicking you in the stomach and telling you that you're going to face a bad season and that's what you had to sign up for. Like, that's. And by the way, Mac Jones is not going to be very expensive either.
No, that which is the whole appeal. And the appeal to him is, hey, 2 years ago with Joe Flacco, this team was in the playoffs.
Well, and the appeal, too, is you got a legitimate chance to go ahead and win the job.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Out of the
gate. Because you're not going up against Jaden Daniels. Exactly.
Be the better quarterback, and you got it.
Are you mock draft watching yet?
No, not yet. I feel like we had a couple conversations this week, and I kind of want to start to be mock drafting. You do the mock draft way more than I do. You used to do a bunch of mock drafts.
I haven't forever because in draft season, I'll do the mock draft simulators for the picks that you have.
To be fair, when I met you and you were doing all these, the Browns were going through the worst stretch of football.
That's true.
We also talked mock drafts around 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say, little low blow there by Albert. It hasn't been mock draft season in November for about 5 years now. I wasn't mad.
That was really funny.
You laughed.
I courtesy laughed.
I did not laugh.
He laughed so hard.
Yeah.
What was I going to do? You left him hanging out to dry.
I no-sold him.
He laughed like he was, he basically was Dave Chappelle.
It was Friday night at the Chuckle Hut. That's
exactly
what it was.
And I had to courtesy laugh. I couldn't leave him out there. There's nothing worse than making a joke or a perceived joke on one of these hits, and the other people on the line do not laugh at all. So that was a mending of the relationship laugh.
I always get the, he stopped talking.
Oh.
Yeah. Meaning, like, they were unprepared because I, like, lull. I'm like a snake charmer.
Yeah.
Like, I lulled that with my beautiful voice and my just long diatribes. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we got to start talking again.
When in reality, they were just kind of shuffling around and they didn't know who was going to say the next question.
Yep. And they were doing you can hear the communication of, this is so Nick. but here's the thing, because I think what we're pointing to, by the way, I'm not mock draft watching either. I looked on Cleveland.com earlier today, and the first thing that popped up was a mock draft, which, by the way, was going to make fans happy because apparently the buzzy name right now is Cam Ward. And I saw the mock draft, and I audibly went, ugh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like Cam Ward.
No, it's not. So I want to be clear. It's not about Cam Ward. It's more about my perception of the quarterback class because I've just heard Albert say it. We had Mark Ross yesterday. I just have heard so many people talk down about what this quarterback class is that it's absolutely harshing my mellow.
Well, give it a couple months and people will be talking up about the class and you know how this goes.
Yeah, but that's what concerns me is I think we should be listening now. Like,
there's still a lot of football left to be played.
To me, the thing, if we want to talk about winning next year, if you get it right, I'm not saying this is getting it right, but the Mac Jones route, you win a lot more games that way. Like the veteran who might have a ceiling on it, but who has done something before, you might be able to salvage the Sam Darnold, the Baker Mayfield. That turns into something a lot more often than reaching for a rookie quarterback. I just think of all the great sins that we have in football, reaching and projecting. Because if Daniel Jones was a second round pick, that one, he never would have gotten $160 million. Two, you would look at that one season that he had was good and just move on. Okay. You'd feel good about it. But because he was the sixth pick, all of a sudden it is, man, there's franchise expectations.
Yeah, Mac Jones, though, is not going to be the guy that wins you a Super Bowl. And so if you're at Mac Jones level and the guy that you draft turns out to maybe not be the greatest or maybe has an injury or something like you're seeing in Minnesota there where J.J. McCarthy's just kind of hanging out and we don't know what that is ever going to materialize into, it's not a good spot to be in.
No.
It's a disastrous spot
to be in. So I think that's my biggest concern right now. And this was kind of at the heart. You and I had a just dust-up. Probably the best dust-up we've had. When I say like the heightened level, both our nostrils were flaring.
I was very angry.
We were angry at each other, which to that level.
We get angry. But I was very angry.
This was very angry. At the crux of it was this idea of you're going to go from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson, and you might not even clear the bar and get back to Baker Mayfield level of quarterback, even if you go young veteran and a quarterback in this class.
Yeah.
So you might be going to, I'm trying to search for, who's the 18th, Teddy Bridgewater on any given year? Like, I mean, who's like the atypical 18th, 19th quarterback? Because people will say Baker. All right, so let's go. Who's the 24th best quarterback? Who's the guy that, okay, Baker's above this guy, Jared Goff is above this guy, because that's who I think that's, I think, a very likely scenario to come out of, even if you find...
Which is a bad place to be, by the way.
Oh, it's the worst place to be. It gets people fired more so than you've had like three quarterbacks in 2 years.
But if you're Stefanski and you're Barry, you got another bite at the apple. You see how this works? Like, if you're Stefanski and you're Barry, you're extending off the idea that, hey, I got to see what my young quarterback can do. You entrusted me to be this offensive genius. Okay, let me have a chance to actually be that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do, and it's exactly going to land you where the Saints were. Like, I know you hated...
The Saints... The Saints went with a quarterback that was way more proven than anyone we're talking about.
Yeah, Jameis, and then Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, yeah. Carr was the big problem in the scenario.
Both Jameis and Derek Carr were more proven than Mac Jones or insert quarterback
right, but they
A
just
from
can't,
this draft.
They just can't flush themselves to Derek Carr right now. That's a real crux of the problem with the Saints.
I think an aging, decrepit roster
that's not capable of carrying
Derek Carr.
That's not what the Browns are trying to do in our discussions. That's not what they're trying to attempt to do at all.
I think the Browns contract. I think
we just discussed is Denver. It is Minnesota.
Yeah, but the problem is those rosters have gone through a retool around other quarterbacks. So there's a lot more youth at like the dominant positions. All of your core players, sans JOK, are 30-ish, older than 30. Like, people don't want to say this, and like, you know, Miles is what, 29? Like, I'm not trying to be this guy.
I made the case about the offensive line before the season got underway. Everyone was 30 years old.
Wyatt's going to be 30. He's the young pup of most of their guys. Like, I'm not trying to do this.
So do we have the wrong core? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Do we have to get rid of the core?
This is, I don't know. I don't think so. But you have to supplement your core. Well, no. You needed to spend the last 2 or 3 years supplementing your core, and you haven't done it.
Yeah.
To this point, Dewan might be a guy. MJ might be a guy. They're going to say they are guys. Well, we like them. Yeah, you drafted him. No, duh. You like them.
Sure.
But I think that's the concern. I think every scenario that, Denver, this year is the Denver pain year, which means they've spent the first 2 years of Sean Payton getting young at a lot of spots and shedding a lot of fat and shedding a lot of older players.
Right, they were willing to say, Jerry Jeudy, go to the Browns.
Yeah, well, and obviously Russ and taking the gigantic cap hit. Like, Denver's a little different than Minnesota, but Minnesota spent 3 years. Remember, the first couple years with Kirk there, he had a great defense. And then the last couple years, they'd been rebuilding that defense and drafting here and getting young receivers, adding Jordan Addison.
You're right about it.
You haven't had that to do it. So that's why all of a sudden just this idea of, Sam Darnold, yeah, that's a great thing to say, but it doesn't mean you're in the same situation as them, and that's my fear. The aging, decrepit roster is my fear.
Yeah.
And
did you see how many roads we can go down where it all ends up with the young quarterback you have to hit has to hit?
216-474-0092.
That's the only plan.
Which do you think? I keep going.
Yourself out of the tease?
No, I keep thinking about what I'm going to, what question I'm going to ask.
You pump faked a tease.
Like three times. Every time I started to say something, I started to dry heave. are you mock draft watching? And when we come back, we'll continue to lower the bar for the Browns quarterbacks again on 92.3 The Fan. Again, it's just a little early for mock draft season, and a lot of it is tied to the fact that I worry that we're going to be reaching for a quarterback, and I'm just going to have to listen. The same people right now that are like, there's no franchise quarterbacks here, are going to be like, let me tell you why you should take Shedeur Sanders with the 6th pick in this draft, and then it's going to happen, and it's not going to go well. But that's some cynicism there.
Are you going to be open to the idea, though, that a quarterback can actually improve in the next couple months?
Yeah. No.
Not to the degree that you needed to get there.
Cam Ward is 25.
He's old.
I'm guessing on that one, by the way. But he's been in college since 2017. What are we doing? Like, that guy's a guy who has to play right away because he is who he is. I think Shador's a bit younger. I'm trying to think of the young guys in this class. Drew Aller, who I don't think should be drafted, is younger.
Cam Ward's 22. He's not 25.
How is that possible?
I don't know. You tell me.
He did 2 years at Incarnate Word, 2 years at Oregon State, and this is his 5th year in college football.
Yeah, born May 25th, 2002. So he was after 9/11.
Well, I am wrong.
Which will make you feel something.
I am wrong, so I will just own that I was blatantly wrong on that. And two, did they put that kid in college at 17? Because that is wildly, unless he's Doogie Howser, that's wildly irresponsible.
You're not wrong in that this is his 5th year in college football. It's just,
Wow. Okay. I just will take the L. Now, I was talking about the San Francisco situation because I don't think we've ever covered enough how wild it is that in efforts to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo eventually. San Francisco traded 3 first rounders, well, 2 first rounders and then a first round swap for the right to come up to 3 and draft Trey Lance. And Trey Lance is one of the true great busts of all time.
He got 4 NFL games. I agree with you, he's a bust, but I mean, it's just that was so quick that they pulled the trigger on him because they got a guy that they thought they liked and it's turned out pretty well for him.
I think, well, but here's the thing. Some teams are telling you. If Trey Lance physically is on another dimension from Brock Purdy. So
physically, the problem with him, though, is he was the opposite of Cam Ward in that I think he had like 20 total games between high school and college.
Yep.
Not just college.
Yeah.
He just didn't play.
And remember his senior season, they did like the spring game where he played one game and it was like one quarter try and showcase. And by the way, it didn't look good. But again, third pick in the draft, you trade multiple assets to get it. And because you got lucky upon all lucky with Brock Purdy, who is a 11th best quarterback in the draft, whatever you think he is, that nobody got fired for the Trey Lance failure. That's pretty wild.
You see, you call it luck. I would say Shanahan would look at it a little bit differently, and this is going to be the pitch that Stefanski has. Well, and this is going to be the pitch that Stefanski's going to have in this too, right? Stefanski, I've always believed, thinks that he's Shanahan. If you're Stefanski, yeah, the pitch is that Brock Purdy in the seventh round, you get me a quarterback, I'll get him into my system, I'll get into what I do best, and then I'll make this guy thrive. I'll make this quarterback, whoever it is, I'm going to make this guy work.
I think that's exactly what it is. And I just think it continues to the idea of just sniffing your own filth. Like at some point, like, because to me, if that's one thing to sell an organization on that. Like, I don't know if it was Daryl, I don't know if it was you, me, somebody on this. I know at some point one of us has taken a big swing at the processes in Cleveland and how they've just touted their processes for 4 years. And we've gotten to a point where through 5 years, you're a 500 ball club.
Yeah.
Like at some point your processes stink and you need to understand that. Like, I've never gotten the sense that Kevin actually self-scouts. I don't think he's a bad guy. And I need to make sure. Like, I do think he is a legitimately nice guy. I don't think that's a put upon. I think he's a legitimately smart guy. But I do think that there is some stubbornness about my way. And I think that's only going to make... Like, I think what made
it's,
him...
I feel like you're just trying to have a roundabout way of saying you don't trust Stefanski with whatever quarterback it would be.
Well, because I think part of the reason it didn't work out in San Francisco is Kyle Shanahan said, hey, cool, Trey Lance, come run my system. And now I think, I don't think we ever got a chance for them to...
No, I think they went to Trey Lance athleticism and they said, we're going to do something that is going to cater to you. And that was Shanahan getting away from what he does best. And then Shanahan was able to take Brock Purdy and say, this is my system, go run it. I want to do the thing that Sean McVay does, where I basically tell you everything you need to do. And their words, not mine, you're going to become a football robot. And when I say to throw it here, they throw it here. That's why all these, like, these Wonder Kid coaches love Kirk Cousins, because he's that guy. He's that football robot that just, they say to throw it there, and then he just shuts his brain off, and then just, like it's playing Madden, the Madden character will just throw it to where it needs to go.
But I think that's the concern. You already might be playing from a diminished field here, and now, hey, whatever quarterback you are, like, people forget, like, Baker felt trapped in a little bit, boxed in about this offense. I mean, he as much said it. Like, he felt like he didn't have the full ability to say, I'd like these plays and these plays. The whole conversation about Deshaun and building an offense is for 2 years, Deshaun played in Kevin's offense.
Right, and then this year was supposed to be a little bit different.
And so, like, so even if they go different, hey, we're going to build something around you. Well, I've seen how that goes, too. It went worse than when you tried to box him in. So, again, I'm not trying to shoehorn this into fire Kevin Stefanski. But I just think, like, I'm already uneasy about the quarterback crew. And the quarterback class. I'm already uneasy about the free agents that are out there, the young veterans you might go to try and find your Darnold. Like, I get the thing you're trying to do. I get you're trying to be Minnesota. I get you're trying to be Denver. That is a path for failure, more often than not. It was, I'm trying to think of it. It was Baker Mayfield and Matt Corral in Carolina. I've seen this. And, oh, by the way, Matt Rhule was trying to shoehorn Baker Mayfield into a system that didn't fit Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And he was traded in, what, training camp? Right before training camp? So, like, I see the warning signs here. I just feel like a lot of people can accept, well, it's not Deshaun Watson,
no,
so it's got to be the right direction.
I wonder if you'd look at it a little bit differently if you had a better belief in Kevin Stefanski. I understand that. You have your own reasons for why you don't. I just heard him. You just laid him out. I get it. I'm not jamming you up on it. I just feel like for the people that believe in Stefanski, that believe that he can get the most out of different quarterbacks, I think they're going to look at a Cam Ward. They're going to look at one of these top quarterbacks and say, yeah, Stefanski's going to be able to figure this out. I think that's where the belief comes in. I would bet dollars to donuts the Browns have that thought process right now as well.
But you're kind of shoehorning me. No. I'm saying I don't fully trust Kevin with a young quarterback specifically. I don't really like this cast of free agents, and I don't really like these young quarterbacks.
Right, but you see, like, that's not shoehorning you. That's a bad combo for you.
Well, yeah, but where can I plant my flag? Like, where can I say... Because here's the thing.
No, you don't. You just get to hide under the covers because it's a recipe of disaster for you.
I want to get drunk on potential as well. I want hope again, okay? But my hope can't be based in, well, Deshaun's not here. That's not hope.
No, your hope, and we see differently with Stefanski, but your hope is going to be if they fire Stefanski.
I don't know, because now you got to get that right. Now, if you get him with our boys, DMV, as we call them.
Our Vrabel and Dimitrov.
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, we're cooking with gas here. Pete Futek, next. College Football News on 92.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.